All right. Thank you, Stephen. Praise God. We got a new carpet here, so I got to make sure I don't spill my coffee. How's everybody doing? That's what happened to the other one. That's what the coffee spilled. Hope everybody's having a blessed Sunday so far. You know what? Sunday's my favorite day of the week. I don't know about you guys. I'm up early, just, you know, but it's exciting. And anytime we get to gather with you guys and worship and, you know, hear God's word, it's exciting. So I hope you guys are all having a great week. I do know some of us have been having some challenges and struggles in life, but, you know, God is faithful and he's good, right? This is the second week that we are preaching. We started a new series last Sunday called Established. And the whole theme is a six-week sermon series. And so we're encouraging you to show up for 6 weeks. And if you can't make it in person, go to the website, listen to the sermons, catch up with the fill in the blanks there. But, you know, 2024, right? Like, man, just think about that. Like, the year's already started 2 weeks in, and time just flies by, huh? But we wanted to start the new year with the new series. The overarching theme of this sermon series is called Being Rooted and Established in God's Love. Right? And so last week we talked about what it meant to start that. You know, in order for us to be rooted and established in God's love, we first have to know who God is, right? And so we covered some ground there and some scriptures on knowing God and why Jesus came and what we have in Jesus Christ, not only our salvation, but what it means to have eternal life as well. Today, we're going to be talking about hearing and listening to God, right? Hearing and listening to God's voice. Because ultimately, it's one thing to know somebody, but the other thing is to hear, right, and to listen. Now, how many of you guys know the difference? There's a difference between hearing and listening. You guys know that? Yeah? What's the difference? I'm going to ask my wife. Okay, so she said, the kids, they hear her, but they don't listen. Right? There's a big difference, right? So the hearing is kind of like it's the physiological, yes, you hear it, but listening is actually like taking it in, and it's like, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Right? That's from Rush Hour. And nobody understands the word coming out. But there is a difference, right? Now, I always tell my wife this, because she blames me too. So she has four kids, and then she has one big kid sometimes too, where she says, didn't I just tell you, or she'll we'll be talking, and then I'll ask her a question. I was like, hey, what are we going to do? She's like, are you kidding me right now? I just said that like a minute ago. And it's like, you did? And it's like, I must have been like praying, you know, I was meditating, I was talking to Jesus. It happens sometimes, right, where you're kind of like distracted a little bit. So to me, if I'm watching TV or I'm I always say, you have to look at the white part of my eyes, and then I say, I guess I understand, right? There is a big difference between hearing, because hearing is a process and the function of the power of perceiving sound, but listening is actually paying attention to the message in order to hear it, understand it, and then even physically respond to it, right? So when we tell our kids, you even tell them, okay, what did I just tell you? Right, so they can actually repeat it back to you. And there's two of them right here, so they know what I'm talking about. But, you know, so we're going to spend some more time. But the first scripture that we're going to cover today is how we listen to God and what it means. In Psalm 85:8, it says, I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants. But let them not turn to folly, right? So one thing we talked about last week is we got to know who he is. The second thing is we got to be keen to what? To hear and then to listen, to do what he says, right? You know, how many times have we kind of said like, man, didn't I tell you? This is a favorite line of my father-in-law, for example. Whenever the kids are, something happens, he always says what? See, I told you. That's his number one line, right? You're running, you tell the kid, don't run. The floor is wet, don't run with your socks, you're going to fall, and then, right, and then what happens? I told you, you didn't listen, right? We're like that, if we're honest, sometimes we're like that, right? We are, even as adults, we try to do things on our own, and I always say, God is so patient with us, isn't he? Like, I think, I used to be more impatient, someday my wife is going to give an awesome testimony about what it's like to have lived with me and marry me, but, you know, someday. But I think I was very impatient, more patient now, but I could say, like, man, how patient is God with us, if we're honest, right? How patient is he? Because he even says, like, man, I sent you my son, I sent you the word, I sent you the Holy Spirit. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but he gives us so many different ways that he speaks to us to give us clarity on how he wants us to live our life. And then we're like our kids, right? Running around with no socks, bam, boom, life happens, right? Because we're not listening to God. So here's the thing that we want to, God wants us to hear him. Doesn't it feel good when you give your kids instructions and they take it the first time? Like, you don't have to, doesn't it feel awesome? Like, wouldn't that be just like, man, that would be like a praise report for everybody, right? You tell your kid once, yes, Dad, you got it. Of course, you're so awesome. Of course you're right, Dad. I'm going to do it right now. Is that what happens, though? No, right? Our human nature, man, that flesh nature. We have one of our kids is like, man, I don't want to say the, she just, oh, I said it already. I didn't want to say she, but I said it. Okay, Lily, sorry. This is part of being a pastor's kid. Even when we're trying to encourage her, right? She'd be an attorney. Because every time we say coach her, she's like, but, yeah, but, this would have. And it's like, oh my gosh, baby girl, can you just like, shh, just listen. Just listen. Because we love you, right? Anyway. Yeah. But we're that way. We have our own opinion. We have our own thought. And so, as a parent, it feels good when our kids listen, yes? Man, I think, what if God was saying, like, man, what if you, didn't I give you all these instructions on how I want you to live your life? I would say, isn't it pleasing to God when we listen to him? I would say yes, right? So, I'm going to pick up the theme, again, of today's sermon, and the sermon title is Hearing and Listening to God. And so, the first chapter that we're going to be in is going to be in John chapter 10. So John chapter 10, I'm going to read it and then we're going to break it down in terms of what it means and how we're listening to what Jesus is saying and how we're supposed to listen to his voice. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in any other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep, and all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, but comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand does not know the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then he scatters when the wolf attacks the flock. The man runs away because he's a hired hand. He does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep." Amen? Yeah. So this is always, I always say, like, man, this is one of these, you guys are very, probably very familiar with John chapter 10. It's a very famous, I would say, piece of, well, everything that Jesus says is famous, right? But I would say, like, this is a big one, because he's giving a big analogy, right? He uses a metaphor of him being the good shepherd. And that ultimately we're his flock, his people, the ones that the Father has given him. Now, what's interesting about John chapter 10 is that it comes after John chapter 9, right? That's like Bible humor. And so you're like, what? Something deep? Yeah, John chapter 9 is an awesome piece. I love John chapter 9. I mean, honestly, if you go back and read it, and so this is like a little, maybe I'll preach on that in a couple weeks. But John chapter 9 is a passage where he heals a blind man. Do you guys remember that? They're walking through the temple, and then the disciples ask him, Jesus, or Lord, who sinned, this man or his father? You guys remember that passage of scripture? And Jesus says, neither, right? He was born blind ultimately so he could perform a miracle. Now, Jesus does something really cool. He actually spits on the, you guys remember, he picks up ground, he spits, and he makes mud out of it. And he puts it on the guy's eyes. And he says, now go and wash, right, at the pool of Siloam. You guys remember that? That's called the pool of the scent. Now, there was a really close pool there, but Jesus still sent him. So, fast forward, because this is not about that scripture. What's happening here is that they're upset with Jesus already. The Pharisees are already upset because he healed a man on the Sabbath, right? Now, what's interesting about John chapter 10 is that all the people that he was talking to, especially the Pharisees, would have been very familiar with the Old Testament, particularly the Psalms. There's a psalm that you guys are very familiar with. It's called Psalm, 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall feel no evil, right? Your rod and your staff guide me, right? And so when he goes here, it's so interesting because he's talking to biblical scholars. And he's saying, yeah, you know Psalm 23? He says, I'm the good shepherd, right? My Father and I are one, right? And I lay down my life, right, for the sheep. And so if you're the biblical scholars at the time, they were like, dude, really? If you go on and you keep on reading, what happens after in the middle of John chapter 10 is they start to pick up rocks, right? They're like, dude, we're about to stone this guy. This guy is crazy for blasphemy. They're already looking for a reason to kill him. If you go on and continue to read the book of John, from that point on, they made up their mind that they're going to do everything they can to kill Jesus, right? But, I know it's probably too much, and it's like, well, how am I hearing God's voice? Okay, we're going to get there, right? But to me, the context is always important because the scripture the context matters, right? So as soon as you're going to hear me, it's like, yeah, John chapter 10 is awesome. Right after John chapter 9, let's build up the story. We pick up, right? Now, Jesus is now giving a very clear picture to everybody. He's talking about flock, right? The flock, and that he's a good shepherd. Now, it's interesting, I told you guys last week that the good shepherd, right, he lays down his life and he surrenders it, right? And ultimately, he's saying they know his voice. Now, this particular sermon is about what? About hearing God and listening to him, right? Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but back then, in the olden days, like when Jesus was around, and still to this day, how do you think that the shepherds would teach the little sheep to recognize their voice? How do you guys think? By talking to them, right? It's actually very interesting. When a sheep was born, they would actually walk around with the little baby sheep around their neck, right? And they would walk around with it for days because you know what happens when you talk? Number one, it's the voice. But number two, it's a different thing that happens. And moms, you guys should be very familiar with this. What is it? Your body, your bonding, right? Your body and the sound resonates different when you talk. That's why usually when moms are pregnant, they talk to the baby, yes? Because the baby is also going to recognize that not only how you hear, right? And I go, let me just, a little bit of anatomy, right? You hear by the vibration of three bones in your inner ear. I don't know if you guys know that, but you do. Okay. There won't be a science quiz later. But if you're ever on a trivia show, there is three small bones that resonate and vibrate with your eardrum that make you hear. When mom is carrying the baby, right, the sound of the voice also carries through. It's a vibration sound that the babies learn to understand the mom's voice way before they learn dad's voice, right? By the same token, what the shepherds would do is the baby would be born, the baby sheep, I guess, right? And they would put it on its shoulders. And they would walk around and talk and teach the sheep their voice, right? I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, it's exciting. Unless the sheep pees on your neck, then I guess it could keep you warm. But that has nothing to do with the sermon, but where my mind goes sometimes. And so that's what he's saying is the sheep recognize his voice. Now, the other thing, too, that Jesus is very clear about is that, you know why we talked last week about knowing who God is? Because it requires trust. Right? It requires trust. And last week, we laid the foundation to say to know God means that we have to trust him. It is faith, right? But he's a good God. The more that we dive into our relationship with him, the more that we know him. We talked about how our parents, right? Generally speaking, they want the best for us. And so we trust them. We talk about our grandparents, trusted family members. But Jesus himself goes back and he says in the scripture, right? That he is the one who enters through the gate, right? And he's talking about other people in your life. He's talking about the robbers and the thieves that come into your life. Does that make sense? You all have robbers and thieves in your lives, whether you admit it or not. You do. You have people that are distracting. You have people that actually come in that, if you're honest, they may not even want the best for you. Just being really honest. We all have them, right? But Jesus is saying, listen, there's all the people there that have already climbed through. They're in your life somehow, but they're not the good shepherd. They don't lay their life down. And he's even talking about how they intermingle and that he himself, he's the gate. He's the way, right? Now, this is something very important. Again, the analogy is that he is our protector, right? That we can trust him. Going back to the scripture, what he's describing in verses 1 through 5, right, is that the sheep themselves, they would all be gathered together, right? If I was a shepherd and maybe Joey was a shepherd, maybe Jesse was a shepherd, we would actually protect, right, bring our resources together because reality of it is like, hey, we're tired, right? If you don't want to stay up and take care of your sheep all night, probably not. You'd have friends. You'd have shepherd friends, right? Your homeboys. Ultimately, they would bring the sheep back into a pen at night, and somebody was responsible, right, for the gate. The shepherd himself would actually sleep at the gate. Why? So they wouldn't come out, but also because you don't want somebody coming in, right? Jesus is the good shepherd. He's also protecting us from the wolves, right? Listen, in John 10:10, he says what? He's also talking about the other thieves and robbers in your life, but he's also talking about the enemy of our souls, right? Where he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? So he says, you have physical robbers and thieves in your lives, but you also have an enemy who wants nothing better than to destroy your life. We already know we have victory in his name, and we know that he's in Jesus' name, but he's defeated, right? Now, his whole plan is what? It says it right there, to steal, kill, and destroy, right? And his whole thing is to try to take down as many of us, and ultimately, right, we know where he's coming. We've read the book of Revelation. We know what's coming. But in the interim, right, if he can come in and steal and kill and destroy our lives and our families, he's going to try to do that. Amen? So Jesus, as we get to know him, right, as we listen to his voice, as we hear him, number one, we have to trust him. That's what we talked about last week. And number two, right, we have to know, we know that he surrendered his life for us, guys. We spent 5 weeks talking about what he came to do, his arrival. And last week we talked that he came to give his life so we can have eternal life here with him now, right? But also, I would say, I don't have to wait. The blessing extends this side of heaven. We also get the opportunity to spend eternity with him. So, we know his voice. How do we do that? The number one thing that we're gonna talk about a little bit, it's by spending time with that person, right? It doesn't happen by happenstance, right? Like yesterday, we actually was my aunt's 60th birthday party, and so I hadn't seen a lot of my family like in a couple months. I mean, and there was a little baby girl, my niece, and it was the first time that I met her. Right? She's so cute. She just like made me want to have another baby, but. My wife's like, nope. She's like, carry that baby, smell that baby, get over with. No. We talked about it. We wanted to have six. And by we, I mean me. She was happy with the four. But we love babies. It is what it is. So if you want us to babysit, we're your people. We're qualified. We're professionals. If you come to our house, it looks like a toy store exploded straight up. Your kids will have a blast. But that little baby girl, she was so familiar. We were carrying her and she's a happy baby. But when her mom came around, oh, it was a different, When her dad came around, it was a different expression, right? Because she knew them, right? And so by the same token, right, we're like, you know, we're like infants, right? We need that time with God. We need to have that connection so we could hear his voice. Amen? All right. So I'm going to move on because I just wanted to use that passage just to lay the framework, right, that it takes knowing God and spending time with God to recognize and listen to his voice, to know it, right? We're going to talk about five main ways, right, that God speaks to us now. Because we already know he's a good shepherd. We know he came to give his life for us. We know that he has his best interest for us. But in life, we have a lot of different questions, right? Every day you're faced with almost, if you think about it, you make about 2,000 decisions with your life every single day. Some of them are small, right? Like, what shoes am I going to wear? Am I going to go put gas right now? What Netflix do I want to watch? You know, what am I going to have for lunch? Do I want, you know, do I want a medium-sized burrito or do I want the big burrito? You know, do I want carne asada or do I want adobada? You know, there's 2,000 decisions to make, right? But those are small ones. How about the big decisions in your life? A lot of them are around, is this the person, right? Is this the person that I'm ready to commit are they ready to commit our life together? We want to spend that, you know, hey, this business opportunity came up, new job, big decisions, right? And here's the thing. The more time that we spend with God, the more clarity and the easier that you'll start to recognize his voice and his guidance on how he wants you to make these decisions, right? That he guides you and leads you along the way in these big decisions of our life. So the first and primary way of God speaking to us is through the Bible, guys. Through the Bible. That's the first fill in the blank. Oftentimes, you know, I always say, man, when I read the scriptures, I tell myself, man, it would be exciting if I was like Moses and I was like doing the lawn and all of a sudden this bush was on fire, you know, like get my attention, you know. I'm over here weeding. I was like, whoa. Lord? Right? That'd be kind of cool, right? Now, that might not happen in our lives, guys. But you know what? I always say, you've heard me say this. If you want to hear God talk to you, read your Bible out loud to yourself, right? We always say, he gave us his word, right? In 2 Timothy 3:16, right? It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I mean, this is, you guys are, I know you're like, man, I go to church all the time. I've been in service, grew up in it. And they keep saying, this is it. This is a book that gives life. But what Timothy's telling us is that it's not just a book that's written by men, right? It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's inspired by God himself, which is different from any other book that you may read. This is the only book where the author actually speaks to you, right? It's not just words that were already thought out, and the author actually speaks to you and gives you life. I've shared this testimony with you guys before. When I was in my 20s and I was a knucklehead and I wasn't walking with God, I would try to read the Bible to pick fights with other believers because I didn't believe. And when I read it, I would actually quit like a Genesis chapter 4, because I'm like, there's no way this happened. Like, oh yes. So there's no way, right? But here's what happened. I got saved. I gave my life to Christ and I started reading this book. And man, like it just starts, God starts revealing. Like, you know, this is not a book of, it has a lot of knowledge, but it's also something that the truth of the Bible is revealed to you through the Holy Spirit. Make sense? That's how before, when I was walking with the Lord, I was just trying to read it to be bad, like to be a pain in the butt and start arguments. There was no, I wasn't going to get any inspiration, right? I wasn't going to get anything that I see in 2 Timothy, right? Useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I was reading it for a bad work. I was trying to be argumentative with my aunts. It's not good. God has done some, I'm telling you, if you would have asked me when I was in my early 20s, if I would be up here, would have planted a church, I would have been serving, I would have been pastoring, I would have said, you're crazy, right? But God is good. He was faithful to a knucklehead 20-something-year-old even through all this time, right? So, but His primary way to speaking through us is through the Bible, right? It's His love letter to us. Everything that we see from, you know, I always say like, and there's a lot of things. It's like some of you guys like novellas and actions. Go read the Old Testament, right? If you like the romance and the comedy, read the Song of Solomon, right? There's so much, I would say, it's amazing. That's the best way I can describe it, guys. From how we're to worship in the Psalms to the correction that we get and the guidance that we get in the book of Proverbs, right? To the Gospels themselves, it's God speaking to us, right? And a lot of times we're just thinking like, you know, there is a way, right, that we have to be very intentional about it, because in life we're going to have what? A lot of, begins with dis and ends with tractions. Distractions, right? Man, now you guys are smart. isn't it that there's more distractions now than ever? Like, man, ever like that little dog on the squirrel, like every time, right? You're doing something, you're getting ready, and it's just like a something pops up. Your kids come in. Our life is full of distractions, right? We're like, again, like our kids. We're trying to give them, it's like, we're not paying attention. We really just need to find a quiet time to spend time alone with God and make it a priority in our life, right? And we also, you know, it's, you got to be in your word, but there's different types of it, right? There's types of study. There's types you go into it, you know. There's different types of Bibles that are really useful as well. Like I always say, I have a life application Bible. I have an app that I use called the Enduring Word. I highly recommend it. There's just a lot of different tools. There's really not a lot of excuses for us just not to dive into the meat of it. Because a lot of times what happens is, you know, there's so much in it that we have to stop. You know, it's almost like, this happened to us yesterday. We went to that party, and I had breakfast, but I didn't eat all the way until, like, I didn't eat again from 7:30 in the morning. I didn't eat all the way until 8:30 at night. That's a long time, right? That's a, you know, it's like my stomach was like a tiger up in here, right? Baby one. But when I got there, right, I started, like, you know what happens when you're really hungry? What happens? Do you, like, take your time? You're like, I'm going to take the time to savor it. I was like, no, I was like a real tiger. Roar! Right? Those, the chile verde and the chicken and the beans, it didn't stand a chance. I smoked it. And then I was like, man, I didn't even enjoy it. Like, I was just like, that was my stomach hurting. No, we have to slow down. You know, when we get in front of God's word, it's like, you know, and sometimes, you're honest, right? When you go to your favorite restaurant or your favorite meal, don't you, like, you take a picture? I lay before you, let me savor. Let me taste a little bit. Don't put the sauce on yet. Is that, you know what I'm talking about? When you go somewhere nice, right? You kind of like, slow it down, lay. Don't try to, not like me yesterday. When we get into the word, it's like that, guys. This is like a meal for our soul, you know? And sometimes we just want to like microwave it. You know, like, oh, I'm going to microwave my, I'm just going to, you know, little pizza pocket or Pop-Tart, Bible verse, scripture. Yeah, you're going to get some nutrient out of it. But are you going to get the full thing? You know, this is a challenge to you guys. Next time, I should see you guys when you're getting, instead of like a little, you're Snapchatting all your food, I want you to little Instagram your Bible. You're like, shh, shh, it's my number one meal right here. It's my favorite. I love it. Right? I'm just saying. When we sit down, right, it takes time because there's so much that's packed into it. And here's the thing about it. God's word never comes back empty, right? You might be in a season of your life where you're going through it. It's like, man, I know this passage in and out, but when I read it this time, man, it hit me. Like God was speaking to me right there, God. I can tell you guys a testimony where I was going through, I was having some conflict in my life. To live is to have conflict. You guys have heard me say that. And I was struggling. I was praying about it. I was praying about it. And I was just like, okay, God, tell me what you want me to do. You guys ever had this? You're praying, praying, praying. And then all of a sudden, 3 o'clock in the morning, God wakes you up. And he says, go read your Bible. And I promise you guys, like, it's one of those things where you're going to have a God moment where God shows up and he answers a prayer like that. I sat down, I started reading, and man, I was like, I felt this, okay, you know what I mean? I felt that God heard me. I read the scripture, I read the passage, and I've just like, the weight was lifted, right? Because he knew that I needed that passage at that time. So much so that he even woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do it. Well, when God prompts you, right, go and do it. We talked about this last 2 weeks ago, right? James 1:22. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but what be a doer of the word. When he calls you to it, get to it, right? Anyway, it takes time. You need to find a quiet place. We're going to talk next week about prayer and meditation, but it takes time for devotion, time for encouragement. There's a lot of different ways that we can hear God's word. I always say, it's nothing like, I mean, you're here. This is good. You came to church. Praise God that you're here. But when you come to church, it's different. You're here for an encouragement. You're here for worship. But this is going to be a little bit of gross, right? But it's almost like when an eagle goes or the mom bird flies and it gets the worms and it like chews it. And then it says, okay, baby chicks, open up. And they're just, right? It means you're gleaning off of some of the things that I've learned, right? You're gleaning off of the message that I prepared. And that's okay for a while. Because in its own time, for example, the little baby eagles, right? They have to learn to do what? They have to learn to feed themselves, right? Because there's a difference. And Paul tells us, right? Right now, there's a season for us to be on milk, but some of us need to graduate towards steak. But we have to make time for it. There's a lot of different resources right now. Again, baby steps, guys. Baby steps. Commit to it. Commit to a time of devotion and quiet time. Listen to different sermons as well, right? Be encouraged. A lot of you guys, I spend time in the car. I listen to a lot of different resources that are available. There's really not an excuse. This phone that you have, it can be a distraction, but it can also be a blessing if you let it, if you use it for the right things. Amen? All right. The second way that God speaks to us is through the Holy Spirit. The second way God speaks to us is through the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 15, John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and will be with you forever, Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. But before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. And on that day, I will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Continues on in 23, it says, Jesus said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and we will make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear from me are not my own. They belong to my Father who sent me. All this I have spoken to you while with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Right? I know I say this after like almost every chapter of John. Oh, I love this chapter. Dude, John chapter 14 is so awesome, guys. Because he's promising the Advocate, right? He's giving us a promise of the Holy Spirit. Leading up to that portion, he's telling them, right, that he's going to go to the cross. Now, the disciples, they're kind of like, you know, I would say they're thick-headed. He's telling them and telling them and telling them, but then he uses that as encouragement. He's saying, I'm going to send you the Advocate, right? And the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name. And what's really interesting, and I'm just going to focus on this, right, is where it says, in 26, this is the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Does that make sense? Isn't that, I mean, I always say, he sent us Jesus. gives us his word, and then he sends the Holy Spirit. And he says, when you accept, I come in, the Holy Spirit, right? When we accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he comes to live within us, right? The prompting. Has that ever happened to any of you where you're walking along and God prompts you, right? You know, you feel the prompting. And you're like, man, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit prompting you. It's interesting that he says, he's going to also remind you of the things that I have said to you, right? You know, there's the encouragement part of it when we discern, right? There's also the other side of it when we're not walking with the Lord. It's called what? It begins with con and ends with viction, right? Man, you guys are awesome. You guys are so smart. Doesn't the Holy Spirit also, when he's guiding us, right, he also brings conviction to say, that's not of God, right? Because we always know. I mean, Paul himself, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament in the book of Romans, he tells us what? That in this life, it's like a tug of war, huh? It's like we know, we read the scripture, we've given our life to Christ even as believers, right? The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. But even Paul himself says, man, woe the man that I am, right? The things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. Does that make sense? That's saying what? It's that push and pull between the flesh and the spirit, right? That we know better. And it's not one of these things, it's like, you know, I always say, man, that God comes to live within us and he reminds us and he encourages us and he prompts us, right? And sometimes you know that the Holy Spirit is almost like, no, don't go. Yes. And sometimes, you know, like when there's an opportunity, because, you know, when we're by ourselves with God, we're like, God, just whatever you want to do today. Like, man, I'm your guy. But when that situation happens, right? And the Holy Spirit's like, okay, come on. Come on, go. And you're like, me? I can't go witness to that person. You want me to pray for them right now? Me? Can I just call like somebody? Like, can I just like text them a prayer? You know? Can I call somebody else to do it? Has that ever happened to you? Where the Holy Spirit prompts you and you're like, but God, if I get involved, I mean, I'm already so busy, like, it sounds like there's a lot of drama. Like, I don't want to get involved in all that drama. Like, yes? And the Holy Spirit is, he does a good, I mean, he's God, right? He's God. And I always say, listen, you have people in your life that you listen to them only because you have to. Yes? You know, it's, right? Could be your boss, could be your parents, you know. Yes. But you listen to it because you have to. Man, when God speaks to us, right, shouldn't we want to just say, whatever you want, God. You made me. My life is not my own. This is not about me. There's not even a negotiation. Whatever you want, God. Now, the people in our lives, that if something bad happened to them, you'd be like, I don't know that guy. But because of their position in your life, maybe you have to listen to them a little bit. Now, I'm going to go back to that because there is something about authority. It's part of our scripture today. Here's what I'm saying. When the Holy Spirit speaks, we got to do it, guys. He's prompting us. It's a gift. He's our advocate. He's there to protect us. We talked about knowing God, listening to him, and then just doing it, the prompting of it, right? Now, the reality of it is God is not silent, right? God is not silent. But sometimes we are like kids and we just choose to ignore. You know, los hacemos tontos. Like, you pretend you didn't hear. Oh, I didn't hear. What, you're talking to me, God? No, right? The Holy Spirit is within us. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. Right? To me, I mean, this is one of the, if we're honest, it's of the Trinity, it's the person of the Trinity that gets the least focus and attention. Yes, God the Father, it's Jesus Christ the Son, but it's the Holy Spirit, right? And He deserves our adoration, our worship, and our obedience, guys. That's the second primary way that God speaks to us. Third way that God speaks to us, and some of you guys are not going to like this, is through authority. Some of you guys, you're like, what, authority? Nobody tells me what to do. I just do my own thing. I hate the authority. Are the cops here? You know, you hate authority in your life. You hate your parents telling you what to do. You hate your boss because it's authority. You hate your counselors because what? Because each one of us, we have that, right? It's like, I just want to be free. Freedom. Nobody tells me what to do, right? You guys all have it. I have it, right? You lie to yourself and you say that your spouse doesn't tell me what to do. I'm in charge. The Bible is, of course, our main authority, guys. The Word of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. But in our lives, God has also implemented authority in our lives, right? Parents, government, whether you like it or not. I'm not going to talk about donkeys and elephants. I'm not going to go there, right? But God has ordained all of that, guys. If you go through and you read in the book of Romans, right? Romans chapter 13, he's talking about the government. He even goes on to talk about taxes, but I didn't want to include that. It says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established, right? The authorities that exist have been established by God. I know. It's a bummer. I don't like the authority in my life either, right? Sometimes I would say, I already pay enough taxes. I don't want to keep paying, or, you know, we don't like authority, right? If there's a speed limit sign, you want to drive 5 miles faster, right? Because you have rebel without a cause. Like, no, no one will tell me what to do. I will drive 60 miles an hour, not 55. I'm in a hurry. I'm the guy where this is terrible. I speed 10 miles over no matter where I'm at. That's my rule. I got things to do, you know? I got places to be. But when the cops right there, when the authorities right there, like, oof. When the cops, or you see him, or you have the Waze app and the little cops there, I'm like, yes, officer. 55, 65, always, seatbelt on. We don't like the authority, but what the scripture is saying, what Paul is reminding us there, is listen, there's authority in life for a reason. Right? You may not like to wear a seatbelt, could save your life, right? There's different things. It's just your parents are the authority in your life. If there's kids in the room, there's a reason why God ordained them, says the family is a family structure. It's not because we have nothing better to do and we want to harass you and ruin your life. It's because we love you, right? Parents, yes, we love our kids. We want what's best for them. Yes, we're flawed too, right? But God has given us, right, that responsibility and the authority because we love them. We're trying to encourage them, protect them. And so I always say, listen, kids in the room, if we misfire, no, it's because I always say, don't measure always our execution. Do you know what I mean? I say, pull the curtain back and measure the intent. What do you really intend for me? What do you want for my life? Every parent in here will say, man, I want you to have peace and joy and love and safety and success, right, in your life. That's what we want. Now, we may misfire on execution, especially if you drive us crazy and don't listen to us. But that's at the heart of it, right? That's one form of authority. We have authority, again, in the government. Your boss at work is also an authority, right? Colossians 3:23 says what? We don't work unto man, right? We do our job as an act of worship or as unto the Lord, right? That's the authority that we're in, guys. And so God will speak to us through authority as well. Now, you know, this is a whole, we do a whole message on this part, We covered a little bit of ground in Ephesians 6 about kids, you know, honoring your parents, reminding them of the fifth commandment, right? Honor your father and your mother. It's the first commandment with the blessing that you may live long in the land that the Lord thy God has promised thee, right? Let's just say, listen to your parents. And then Paul says in Ephesians 6, don't exacerbate your kids. Don't nag them. Don't needle them. Don't pick them. Because we can do that too, parents, right? He's saying, don't do that. Now, prior to that, in Ephesians 5, right, that's everybody's favorite. If you're in a relationship, right? Everybody's already like, man, I'm not going to submit to no man. I just do what I want. Ephesians 5:21 says that, and then husbands, love your wives, right? As Christ loved the church. Those are the two. But before that even, he says what? Submit to each other, right? 5:20 says, submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. He's saying, yeah, you have authority in your relationship. He's saying, yes, husband, you have that. I know you don't, I should probably get off this one because it's a sermon for it's all on its own. But if God has given you authority, he's saying, you're in charge. But guess what? There's still somebody in charge of you, and it's Jesus Christ. Amen? And so if we're having troubles there, I'll be honest with you. Have we submitted that relationship and submitted ourselves fully to Christ, right? I'll tell you, husbands in the room, that when we're fully submitted under Christ's headship and lordship, it should make it a lot easier for our wives to be obedient to 5:21. But if we're not, and we think that we're in charge, and we have the authority, we're kidding ourselves. I'm being honest with you, right? It is what it is. That's this message for another time. But that is another way for authority, right, in our lives. Both, all of us, submitted under Jesus Christ first. Amen? That's his authority over us. So God is going to speak to us through authority, through governments, parents. Listen, I'm here to walk alongside of you. You have pastors who love you, who care about you, right? We're not going to go outside of what the scriptures say. But those people, you know, the church body is there to encourage you as well. Right? God has called us to this task not because we're like, oh, we want to be in charge, we want to be the boss. No, God has called us to this task, right? To love and take care of this church. So the Bible comes first. We talked about the Holy Spirit. We talked about authority. The fourth way that God speaks through us is through godly counsel in your life. Godly counsel in your life. Whenever you're making decisions, right, what do you normally do? Do you normally tend to make big decisions on your own in a vacuum? Or do you usually talk to somebody? Now, if you're going to make a big decision about relationships and raising up kids, do you want to go to your friend that is like just a hot mess in that area? No? Probably not, right? That's probably not good counsel. We used to go to a Bible study. Stephanie and I led a Bible study at LVC for all 13 years we were there. There was a season where a young lady came to our church and she was sharing. She just got out of a divorce. It was the one thing, and she always would say this, and it resonated so strongly with me. She said, I wish I would have surrounded myself with godly people when I made that decision. It's the biggest regret of my life. And what she was saying is that as she was going through that struggle in her marriage, she says, I wish I would have talked to people that would have encouraged me, because I had this idea, I got sold this idea of how it was going to be like after. And she says, it's been nothing like that. So in the season of my life, she says, I was hanging around with my girlfriends, and all of them had failed relationships, and she says, and all they were telling me was, you don't need him, do what you want to do, forget him, this and that. It's just, and she says, I just wish that I would have surrounded myself with somebody who would have painted me the other side of what it looks like. It is my biggest regret that I didn't fight for my family. sometimes you're going to go through life in situations that happened where, you know, it's like we got to seek the right counsel, right? If you want somebody to support your irrational decisions, you're going to find somebody, right? Sometimes we're like that, right? You ask somebody, they tell you, and you're like, I don't like that, right? Go, what do you think? Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yes, that's what I've been saying. Like, I should do my own thing, right? Yes? Does that ever happen? But listen, we got to be very careful who we speak to, who we're confiding in, who's the guidance in our life. So the fourth way that God speaks to us is the godly counsel, right? You want to go to people who are connected to Jesus Christ, have a relationship, right? Who know this book, who have, even sometimes, right? It's like what my dad used to tell me. He would say when I was a kid, when I was like 12, and I wanted to do all these things, and he would say, sometimes the person that loves you most is the one that makes you cry and tells you no. And I would say, it sounds deep. I hate you. I wish you would let me do what I want to do, but okay, right? As I got older, I understood it. Sometimes the person that loves you most is the one that makes you cry, right? Because in the flesh, we're like immature. Like, I want to do, but I want. Like, I always say, we all have the baby. You know what I'm talking about? I don't care how old you are. If you're in this room, you have the baby inside of you. The one that wants you, me. Wah, 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 wah. And you don't get it, the baby comes out. Yes? It's true. But sometimes that baby needs to be told, no. This is not what's right. It's not good for you, right? So we need to be seeking godly counsel. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for the companion of fools suffers harm. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. You need mature brothers and sisters in Christ in your life. You can't do this thing on your own. Yes, you have the book. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit, but you have people who, you need people in your life who love you, who care for you, who are also going to be okay to speak life to the situation. It's not always what you want to hear. It's somebody that we say, I think you're making a mistake. What? Yeah. Go apologize. You're wrong. It's okay, right? Let's look at it. I mean, we need godly counsel in our life. Now, the companion of fools suffers harm, right? Some of you guys, all of us, we know some fools. Yeah? Right? Those are not the people that we're going to seek for their guidance and their counsel. We need to make sure that we're looking after godly people or seeking godly advice, right? Friends aren't all a good influence, if you're honest, right? Some of you, if I tell you right now, there's some person that in your life right now that you know is probably not somebody that you need to be like hanging out with, yeah? They're not a good friend. And you got to take inventory of your life, you know? Ultimately, I mean, anyway, I don't want to tell you guys how depressing my life is. I don't have a lot of friends. That's okay. I have my brothers and sisters. I have my wife. It's funny. My phone is listening to my conversations. I just read this morning in Reader's Digest, it says, in the last 10 years, men in particular, a third of them said they were lonely. Now it's half of them. So it's like, oh, wow, very sad. It's a different conversation for a different time, which is why, plug for us, we're having breakfast at my house next Saturday. Come over to our house. I'm going to make some steak and eggs, maybe. Maybe we'll have Spam and Eggs. But we need godly counsel. We need fellowship. We need the fellowship of believers, right? To encourage each other, to do life together. And so this is part of that, right? God will use another brother and sister to speak life to you where you need it. Amen? All right. The last way that God speaks to us is through circumstances. Listen, God is sovereign, right? We can see him. We can see his actions in our life. Even when I wasn't walking with God, God was still sovereign in my life. Make sense? I don't think he's surprised that we're here. He's not surprised that we opened a church. He's not surprised by our previous service. God is sovereign. He's going to speak to us through our circumstances. Romans 8:28 says what? And we know all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, right? We can be reassured that God is actively at work in all circumstances for the good of those who love him and we're aligned with him, not our own purposes and our will, right? Sometimes it's like, man, I don't know if that was, I wouldn't have had it that way, but God puts it together and weaves it together for his own purpose, right? If we've been called according to his, for all who have been called according to his purpose, And we're trusting that he is speaking and working to them for our ultimate good. There is times in our life where things are going to happen, and we may have said, and you look back on your life and you say, man, I wish I didn't have to have, I didn't go through that struggle, through that storm. But if you look back at what God has done and brought you through it and built your testimony and brought other people that have gone through that, don't you say, you know what, I wish it could have been another way, but God, I know why you did it. I know what you're doing now. Hindsight is 20/20, right? When you're going through it, you don't understand. It's like, God, really? Like, God, do you know how my heart is, my soul is breaking right now? God, really? But Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Our greatest pain and suffering and challenges adds to our testimony, and God gets the glory for that. I always say, you know what? It's a song that, what's that? That country group? God Bless the Broken Road That Led Me Straight to You? Rascal Flatts? That's not biblical, but sometimes, no, I mean, that's not a worship song. I'm sorry. But God does bless a broken road, right? That's all I'm saying. That's our life is that way. You know what I'm saying. Rascal Flatts is not like a, uses a nasally country singer to tell the truth too, right? God does bless a broken road. Our life is a witness of that, is a testimony to that. We could see his goodness. And I would say, and I always say this, when I was in the storm, in the pit, in the struggle, I said, I don't understand it, God, but you know what? I trust you. I know you. I hear your voice. You're going to do something good out of this, right? And that's our testimony, guys. So God speaks through us even through circumstances. God will open doors and close doors in your life. Know that he is good. Know that he loves you. He's for us. He's not against us, right? He's sovereign. And so, yeah, you know, ultimately, like you said, we're in the middle of a spiritual battle, guys. We have to learn to drown out all the other voices, the thieves and the robbers, and definitely how to arm ourselves against the devil that's coming in to steal and kill, kill and destroy time with God. But we need also, again, if we're honest, fight the enemy that's within. The number one reason why we're not walking close with God and we don't listen to him is what? Because we're pig-headed. We're stubborn. We don't want to listen. And that means that we need to surrender. We need to let that go and make focused time, right? God is God, you know? We're created beings. And we tell the creator, I don't have time. Maybe, if I feel like it. We wouldn't tolerate that as parents, right? We're not even the creator. We're not even little gods. Our life is a vapor, guys. It's a gift that God has given us. And so I'm not here to guilt trip you guys. I think God wants us to know his voice. That's why he gives us the Bible, the Holy Spirit. He gives authority in our life. He surrounds us with brothers and sisters. We have to make a decision to spend time with God, to hear his voice. I love it when I come home, my kids, you know, I'm still at the age where I think they're just faking me out. But they still like come and greet me. Right? My daughter come give me a kiss. My husband, you know, my spouse. It's my favorite time. I'm just a dad. Right? I love to be with my family. And I was like, Heavenly Father, I had to imagine he's the same way. It's like, man, why wouldn't we want to spend time with our Creator, with the Heavenly Father, right? who loves us the way he does, enough to send his son to die on the cross for us. Jesus is a good shepherd, right? He gave his life. He surrendered his life. He's the gate. He's the way. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. And I think it's just for us that we continue to draw near to him. The second half of John 10:10 says what? I've come that they may have abundant life and have it to the full. That's the kind of God, that's the kind of person that's like, man, it's worth surrendering our life to, that kind. Somebody who loves us out, has nothing but our best interest. Why wouldn't we want to be listening, right, to his voice? Not just hearing, but listening and doing what he says. Amen? Let's stand up. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for just today. Thank you for an opportunity to gather, to worship, to know, to be encouraged by your word. Lord God, it is my prayer this morning that we just seek you out, Lord God. We seek to hear your voice, but to listen to it. Help us, Lord God, to be in your word. Help us to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Help us to seek and to know that you've placed people in our lives, authority in our lives, Lord God, for our own good. Lord, you're not trying to take anything from us, Lord God. When we surrender our lives to you, it's because really you have your best interests at heart. You are a good father to us. You are an awesome God, a God that loves us, a God that is just and is fair, that wants to provide. And so just thank you again for your goodness in our life. Lord God, just continue to be with us. I would say for us, just to drown out some of the distractions, Lord God, maybe just prune out certain things and activities that we know are distracting us, taking away our time from you. We want to stay focused on who you are in our lives. We want to just continue to have you. We want to have you, Lord God. Let the desire of our heart just to be intimate with you. To desire you more. To desire you more, Father. Through Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Living out what this book says, Lord God. I pray that your will would be done in our lives, Lord God. And that when our plans get in the way, that we would be okay for you to say no, because you're a good father and you love us. So thank you again for what you're doing, Lord, in each one of our lives, Lord. In this series, I pray that all of us, Lord God, would just keep seeking you out for who you are, Lord God, to know you more, to hear and listen to your word. And next week, as we get into prayer, Lord God, how we communicate back to you, Lord God, in our quiet time of meditation. Thank you for your goodness, for your love, Lord God. Right now, Lord God, I know that each one of us, Lord God, we got to take inventory of where we are in our lives. Lord, if there is a sin right now in our life that is entangling us, Lord, that is holding us back, Lord God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you bring the conviction in our life, Lord God, to just help us to remove it. Help us to remove that, Lord, from our life, to turn away, to repent from it. And to draw closer to you, Lord God. Lord, surround us with brothers and sisters to encourage us in our life, in our journey, in our walk. We're not meant to do this alone. Help us to surround ourselves again to seek you, Lord God, in your word and through the Holy Spirit and through godly counsel and through other authorities, even the church, Lord God. We're here just to serve, Lord God. But I just pray right now. We just turn away from that, Lord God. We turn away from whatever is distracting us, Lord, and just fall back in love with you. Lord God, you are such a good and awesome God. And the only way that we can really hear and know is to trust you and to know you and to turn back and to turn back from the things that are keeping us, Lord God, and to turn our attention back to you. There's somebody here this morning that doesn't know who Jesus is, or maybe you need to recommit your life to him. I'm going to invite you to raise your hand. You don't have to. Now is the time. And so if that's you this morning, if you don't know who Jesus is, or if you just want to recommit your life, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand right now. And we can just lead you into a prayer just to bring you back to who God and bring you back into the fold. Father God, thank you again, Lord, for the salvation that's already here. Thank you, Lord God, that you meet us where we are. And Lord, our prayer this morning is again that we continue to draw closer to you, Lord. Through your word, through the Spirit, through godly counsel. You continue to use us, Lord. Keep us safe, Lord God. Lord, some of us, we're going through some grief. Lord, some of us are going through some health issues, or some of us, we have transitions in life happening in our lives, Lord God. Even as our kids go back to school, Lord, we lift them up and keep them safe, Lord God. Be with our kids, all of our teachers, our administrators, all the staff, all the admin staff, all the groundskeepers, everybody that's involved, Lord God, and just the nurses, Lord, everything that is involved in teaching these kids, but also help us, Lord, at home to raise them up in your ways, Lord God. Just thank you again for your goodness, Lord God. I know it's just that time, Lord God, of transition and changes, Lord, but help us to keep your voice, Lord God, voice at the center of what we do, Lord. We pray that we seek your will out in all that is happening in our life, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. Keep us safe, Lord. Keep us, gather us again. And Lord, continue to be with us, Lord God, in our times of fellowship, ministry opportunities where we are, Lord God. Help us to serve you to the fullest and the best we can, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.